3, the first 6 verses. As far as I know, Walter will be here next week, but his schedule is still a little iffy at this time. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, Paul's writing here, and I really, really like the book of Hebrews. Personally, a lot of it has to deal with the priesthood, and being born and raised Catholic, that meant a lot to me, because this was the, well, actually, this is what the Catholics think they became, the successors to the Jewish priesthood. Now, they don't say that, because, see, they're, you know, part of the Vicar of Christ and all this other stuff, but that is basically what it is. They put themselves between the people they serve, supposedly, and God. And you have to go through the priesthood to get to God in the Catholic Church. That's the only way. And that's what it was shown in the Jewish faith in the Old Testament. The people went to the priest who offered the sacrifices. Anyhow, and this pretty much Paul got rid of it and explained everything about it. But this is something we as believers should know. Paul ends chapter 5 of Hebrews writing that there is actually a time to be teachers. In verse 12, he says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Then he says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on." There's something more here. Believers should know enough to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Believers should know the first principles of the oracles of God. Young's literal translation has it, elements of the beginning of the oracles of God. I like that. The elements. What it's made of. But not only are believers to know these things, we are supposed to be able to teach, to relay these things to others, to any that ask of you. And I always think, when I think about that, I think about, well, there were times I gave people answers and they weren't asking questions. And you grow out of that. Because like Walter said, Earl, you repeated it, sometimes it's time to be quiet. But if there are some that ask, give an answer. Now, you should know these things if you are a believer of full age and are studying to show yourself approved unto God. You should know these things if you're under the sound of a gospel preacher who teaches these things. But then Paul states that he's going to leave these things for the moment. And I've heard some people to the effect of that, you know, we're going to leave these things behind. No, Paul's not leaving these things behind. We're going on.
That's all, sure.
To perfection. And it says, not laying again the foundation of repentance, of dead works, of faith to God, of baptisms, laying in of hands. It's still the foundation. It's still there. And this is what we're going to build upon it. We are going on. We're not going away. Excuse me. Now, this is one heck of a list of stuff to leave, to go on from. Believers are to know Christ and his doctrines, and in essence, without knowing his doctrines, you don't know Christ in some ways. Because Christ is holy, sinless, perfect. He is the only begotten Son of God, and that's a doctrine. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Not in sinful flesh, but he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. And that's sound teaching. He is wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And that's a doctrine. Now, whether these things are believed or not, they are sound teaching. God chose his people from before the foundation of the world. He gives life to dead sinners who are his chosen ones. Faith is the gift of God given to his children in time. Christ calls his people, given to him by God, by name. And the Holy Spirit brings the regenerate sinner to the Son. And the believer will repent and believe upon the Son of God, Jesus Christ. There is baptism into Christ's death and the baptism in water of the repentant believer. We have not left these things because they are wrong or in error or because we're done with them. It says we've left these things because they are established. This is the foundation. And this is the foundation that's established. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? These truths have not changed. They have not been outgrown. Paul is not moving on to a more, what is a higher spiritual level?
Maturity.
Maturity. Yeah. They haven't changed. Judgment, resurrection, baptism, faith, repentance, and the work of Jesus Christ are the foundation. Now here is something else Paul wants us to know. So he wrote it down. And this is something else we are to know and to teach. You can understand what Paul means here today by reading it. Because I don't know of anywhere else where this will be taught or read in church. They'll read a piece of it and a certain piece, because they want to prove a certain point. But I'll get to that in a minute. But the first six verses of Hebrews chapter 6 have been disputed, are argued about, and are, I don't know, by Christian scholars. Is that a good way to put it? Is there such a thing? People fight about it. Most of the time, it's hard enough to find somebody preaching the elements of the beginning of the oracles of God, much less to find somebody that preaches anything more. But Paul said, let us go on unto perfection, and this we will do if God permit. Now that's an awesome statement right there, because I feel inadequate stating it. Because sometimes I don't know if I have an adequate grasp of the first principles of Christ, much less feel able to go on. But I believe I've got an understanding of this passage because of the foundation of Christ's work that has already been laid and is still there. Because no scripture is of any private interpretation, Paul wrote that he was going to go on. He wasn't going to go away. He wasn't going to turn left. He wasn't going to turn right. Because this is still the foundation for everything that Paul's fixing to write here. That's why they call it a foundation. I like that. Now, what I've never really noticed, other than Earl or Walter, when we've been in this passage, they really seem, when I've heard actually people read part of this, verses 4 through 6, okay, is in here as one sentence. This is one sentence. It's not three separate statements. This is one sentence. It does have parts, but it is one thought. And it starts off with these words, for it is impossible for those. Now, I looked at the word impossible in the Greek and in the other translations, and it translates out impossible. It can't be done. I mean, that's pretty much what it says. Something is impossible for someone. Then Paul gives the description for those right after it. It is impossible for those who. He starts off, number one, they were once enlightened. Number two, they tasted of the heavenly gift. Number three, they were partakers, made partakers of the Holy Ghost. And four and five, they tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Now, this is the description of those for whom something is going to be impossible. Those who have been regenerated and converted. Paul is writing of those who were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. That's believers. He's writing of those who have tasted of the heavenly gift. That's believers. This is not false believers, okay? Paul did not write or address this to those who had accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And these are very definite statements. They were enlightened. They had tasted of the heavenly gift. They were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. They tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Paul wanted no doubt what he was writing about, or who he was writing about. It's not false believers. I've heard people talk about that. It's not about seed sowed on the wayside who spring up and don't last because of persecution, because those had not the foundation of the first principles of the oracles of Christ. Those in that parable were not partakers of the Holy Ghost. Then we come to the description here, after that, in verse 6, he's writing of believers for whom it is impossible, and in quotes, if they shall fall away. Now, what shall they fall away from? The implication here is if they shall fall away from enlightenment, the heavenly gift, the partakers of the Holy Ghost, and the tasting of the good word of God. Everything Paul listed before in this verse, this is still the same sentence. A true reversion back to the state of being a dead alien sinner. Now this is where it gets tricky. And this is where a lot of people have problems. Paul is not stating that it is possible for anyone to fall out of the hands of God or Jesus Christ. That's not what he's saying. That is what preachers preach all over this country. But that's not what that statement says, because he's not done with the sentence yet. Excuse me. There is more to come, and this is one reason why I believe he was so particular here in the end of verse chapter 5, where he talks about somebody teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God. And then in verse 1, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again this foundation. The foundation's still there. The truth of Scripture is still there. But see, people will take this and they say, if they shall fall away. See, believers can fall away. That's what they'll say. And I've heard them say it from this very passage of Scripture. But that's not what Paul is teaching here. Because Paul, well, the reason they say that is so that they can pretty much ignore what we call the preponderance of Scripture. Okay? What they want to ignore is in John 6:40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. They want to ignore, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's John 6 and verse 44. John 6:54 says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 11:26, I read it earlier, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Paul believed this. This is still part of the foundation. John 10:9 said, I am the door by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Paul has not forgotten this foundation, nor has he discarded it. But preachers all over the world have. Paul wrote to Timothy, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this sealed, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Paul does not advocate or teach that the good shepherd is capable of losing one of his sheep, or that he is capable of failing the instructions given to him by his Father. Those were given to him by his Father. But that's what they make of this, people who believe, and this is what they believe, that you can lose salvation and you can gain it back, and you can lose it again and you can gain it back, and you can lose it again and you can gain it back. And this is where we differ from them totally and completely, because Paul gets to the point here of this whole statement that he makes. And if he had people doing this to him back then like we've got it here, I don't know, Earl. I really don't. But I know it's here now. Because Paul says, if they should fall away, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance.
Can't be done.
It cannot be done. That's exactly it. It is impossible. That's what he starts his sentence off with. For those who had been enlightened, if they fall away, to renew them again. There is no way this can happen. And this is where we differ, because of what salvation is. And this is what they don't understand. And it becomes evident in their teaching. They can use all the words they want. They can use the same words that we use, but they have no conception of the idea of what salvation really is. Because it says, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, or again, and put him to an open shame. This is Paul's point. According to the first principles of the oracles of God and the principles of the doctrine of Christ, there is only one way of salvation. There is only one salvation, and that's it. This salvation cost exactly the life of the only begotten Son of God. Once and once only. Paul goes into this in depth in chapter 7, 8, and 9, and 10, just after this statement. He starts off with the priesthood and all. But this life of Christ was given once. Christ's blood was shed only once. And this blood was an offering for sin forever once. This price was paid for the sin of his people, whom he came to save once. The law gave this representation of this. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The death of Christ saved his people. This is what it cost to save one believer. If there was only one, Jesus Christ had to die. This is the only price that the Lord, the Father, would accept. So, if that believer falls away, it is impossible to renew them again under repentance. There is no more hope if Christ's death is not good enough to save to the uttermost all them that come to God by him. Christ made the sacrifice for sin forever, and then he sat down. He didn't sit down because he was tired. He sat down because he said, "It is finished." And he meant it. Excuse me. He cried from the cross, "It is finished." And he did that because it was finished. And this is where we differ. Again, this is where the people of God are to be as believers. This is what we are to know and to teach. Okay. People around us, and I've been there in other places before I knew better. I don't go there anymore. But people think they have something to do with their salvation. And evidently Paul had the same problem, because that's why he wrote this down. If not, he just wrote it for us because it's so true for us. But people think they have something to do with their salvation. They came forward. They may have prayed a prayer. They may have cried. They did something. And because of that, God saved them. That's what they believe salvation is. So they can do something and they can lose it. It's that simple. I mean, that's the way they think of salvation. Christ did all that, see? Christ died for everybody, don't you know? Christ died for everyone. So it can't be that. They're right. If Christ died for everyone, it can't be that.
That's right.
But Christ didn't die for everyone. That's another part of the foundation of the first principles of the oracles of God. Christ didn't do it for everyone, because this is where things are different than in other places. The writings in this book teach that salvation is of God. It is of the Lord. Not by the Lord, not through the Lord. It is of the Lord. He is salvation. If believers could fall away and try to come back and be renewed, it is as if they were trying to crucify Christ again and put him to an open shame by saying what they're saying is, well, his sacrifice wasn't enough. His blood being shed wasn't enough. You've got to do something with it. Or you've got to not do something to keep from losing it. That's not what this book teaches. These people think they honor God and his Christ. They think they do. They're revealing themselves. If you know the first principle of the oracles of God, they're revealing that they do not know the Lord God Almighty or Jesus Christ, his Son, or the Holy Spirit. They don't know. They see, because the reason this has to be true for them is because this is what they see in their churches. If you ever around and you ever hear them talk, which I don't recommend doing, but I have been there, okay? They will talk about turnover. That's what they talk about sometimes. Because 6 months later down the road, some people that were there aren't there anymore. Now, some of them may come back. Some of them might not. But some of them may come back. And then some of them go away. Some of them come back. Now, you may have your little hardcore group that doesn't go anywhere. But that's what these people, that's what they see in their churches. So it has to be this way. You have to be able to fall away and come back, because that's what happens in their assemblies. I don't know what else to call them. In their groups. They think this is reality. And it's not. It's not the way of the children of God. They don't understand. They don't understand. Well, Earl was starting on it a little while back, and I was saying, okay. He didn't read this, though. 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's what believers are. Believers are kept by the power of God through faith. Now, if you're saying you can lose salvation, if that's what they're teaching, they're saying they can't be kept by the power of God? Who do you think you're dealing with here? God is a God of mercy, Earl, and His mercy endureth forever. His loving kindness, with loving kindness I have drawn thee. You know? Paul did know this. He knew the principles of these doctrines of Christ. And more. He goes on about the real meaning. Chapter 7 and 8, 9, the real meaning of the priesthood in here. And the sacrifices, and without blood there is no remission. And he gets to Hebrews 10, and he says in verse 10 of Hebrews 10, by the which will are we sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14 of Hebrews 10, for by one offering, the same offering in verse 10, we are sanctified by. By one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Paul wasn't stating if they shall fall away that believers could fall away. He's stating the statement of this is how much salvation is. If you fall away from this salvation, there is no hope. He's not saying that anybody's going to. But this is the argument, and this is the part that really just blows my mind sometimes, that these fellows will stand up there and they'll preach. It says, if they shall fall away, see, you can lose your salvation. They don't read the rest of it. They don't read the rest. All you have to do is just keep going. If they shall fall away, it's impossible, if they shall fall away, to renew them again. You can lose your salvation, and then you're dead, according to this book. This is what Paul was talking about. We're going on. If you can lose it, it's gone. Because it was only done once. And by that offering, his people are saved. By that offering. That offering was 2,000 years ago. That offering was not 20 years ago or 25 years ago when I came to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. That offering was 2,000 years ago when I wasn't even a thought in anybody's brain except God's. And that is just the most amazing thing in the world to me. believers come to know they did not save themselves. Their salvation happened at the offering of Christ to God before you were ever born in this day. It was purposed before the world began and provided in time by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And all of this happened by one offering once, one time. Religious people do not believe this. They won't have it. Religious people will not have this. And this is what sinners will have. This is the salvation for those who were, while we were yet enemies. Enemies of God. This is the kind of salvation I need. And they don't understand what it takes to come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I spoke a couple weeks ago, I got thinking about this. About the law work. What did Paul say about it? You have not received again the spirit of bondage to fear. Again. I don't want it again either. But you have not received it again. But you've received the spirit of adoption. And wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster after faith is come. Now, wherefore the law is not everyone's schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. It's ours, believers. And after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The law is still true. The law is still there. But the law is no longer our schoolmaster. And that spirit of bondage, again, to fear, is not coming again. This is why it says they try to crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh. They try to kill him again. Now, free will preachers don't preach that. Because they know they'd get in trouble if they were talking about having to crucify Christ again. Christ having to die again. Earl, I do not believe in the blessed doctrine of backsliding. Or practice it, thank goodness. But there are those who do leave. There are those who will leave the assembly of the saints. I mean, in this small place here, we've seen it. I mean, more than once. And it's not just people, not talking about people moving away because their jobs changed or because they family problems or whatever for age or health reasons, but there are some who have left the gospel. What does the scripture say about them? It does speak of these. But what it says is something very different as compared to believers. It says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. It's just making itself known. It's not that they lost their salvation. They never had it. There are some that will persevere to the end. Walter's talked about it several times. But Paul knew this. Christ keeps his people by the power of God through faith. And they are his, and no man can pluck them out of his hand. My Father, which has gave them me, and no man's going to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Ever. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again. And Lord, we ask for your blessings as we go from this place, and we ask that you would lead us and guide us and direct us and help us in this world which we live in, where we spend more of our time than we want. And Lord, we will give you all the praise and the honor and the glory, for it is yours now and forever. Amen.